Earlier this week, Amazon made it official. Its HQ2 is going to split into, with New York City and Northern Virginia announces the winners. That followed a lengthy application process that included more than 200 cities putting in a bid. So did those communities waste their time, or were the efforts worthwhile? With me to talk about that is John Austin, director of the Michigan Economic Center and a senior fellow with the Brookings Institution. John, what did you make first of the overall process that Amazon used for choosing HQ2?
It was kind of a wild and bizarre process. I mean, I think Amazon sort of tantalized so many communities by seeming to suggest that they were serious about inviting bids and opportunities for many communities, including non-coastal communities, to put their best foot forward and compete for this headquarters. But ultimately, it looks like they probably wanted to locate their now two new headquarters in the sort of nation's political and financial capital. And it's a reminder that chasing kind of the tech savior or the big new employer to come to your community or your state is not the recipe for success. You got to grow your own new industries and new jobs with assets that you've got, which do exist throughout the rest of the country.
In certain ways, was this a reality check for a lot of cities, both in terms of what can we do differently to lure different businesses, but also what are some shortcomings and what are some things maybe we need to work on?
Yeah, I just think it's a reminder that luring businesses is not the recipe for economic growth and success. So many of the communities around the country that are growing and thriving are doing so because they've created more diverse industries and jobs, often, you know, to replace ones they've lost. Minneapolis is a growing, you know, tech financial services magnet, attracting people. Pittsburgh, which was losing people for years when their steel industry collapsed, is now a health, medical, IT, robotics hub. Universities play a key role in this because emerging sectors kind of grow out of research and development and new businesses that are created in emerging sectors. And, you know, places like Phoenix and I would argue Colorado are growing because it's a lifestyle. People want to live in a beautiful, interesting place, and then they find a way to make a living and create new jobs and businesses. So places that have assets, because they're great places to live, places that are innovative and grow the talent that powers the next generation of industries, those are places that are thriving. And but it comes from within.
Do you think that when it comes to offering incentives and trying to get a huge company like an Amazon, even though there are pitfalls, as you talked about, does it still make sense to try to a certain extent, and then once it gets to a point where it just seems untenable in terms of certain sacrifices, then it becomes out of the picture? I mean, does it make sense for you that a lot of cities did compete for it, or should they have just pulled back and realized, okay, what's really going on here?
If Amazon had been serious about contributing to accelerating economic growth in many of the, you know, non-coastal communities that do have a talent base, I would argue that to build on, whether it's Austin or Phoenix or Nashville or even Detroit, Pittsburgh, Minneapolis, Columbus, Indianapolis, all of those places have robust education institutions, technical training abilities. But Amazon could have accelerated that dynamic, but it chose not to. But it is a reminder that the path to economic success for any community these days is about educating people to high levels, fueling your research and learning and high-tech research and development institutions, whether they're universities or medical research complexes. Those are the bones on which new jobs, new businesses are created, highly educated, skilled people who are involved in finding the new discovery, finding the new technology. And communities can organize around growing their research and learning institutions and being a talent magnet, and that will give a solid foundation for both creating your own jobs, but also being attractive to other employers who are looking for places where talented people want to live and work.
So, John, like a lot of things, it's a combination in this case of you have success through education, as you mentioned, through the universities. You also have some startups that get going in your area, and then maybe you do recruit some outside folks as well. It has to be sort of that melange.
Yeah, it's a dynamic process. You know, talent is a dynamic. If Amazon had chosen to locate its headquarters in any of the non sort of capital of the economy and political economy cities, it would have A, attracted a lot of people, and B, it would have, you know, fueled the growth of those communities. They chose not to do that. I think they may have never intended to do that. But communities that get their act together as best they can, that build their infrastructure, that fuel research, learning, higher education attainment. Look at a place like Kalamazoo, which has old industrial city in Michigan that promised a higher education degree free if you graduate from the Kalamazoo school. It's now a thriving, economically growing community from a formal industrial base. That's the recipe that other communities can follow. And again, places have other assets too, like great lifestyle, great quality of place.
So John, finally, let's take a hypothetical. So, some other enormous company, it's, you know, not Google, but let's say a similar size to Amazon, decides to go through this process again. Would you expect to see the same level of competition, or would cities, as you mentioned, have been sort of awakened to the idea of, okay, this gave us a sort of a good template, but we're not aiming for that. We're aiming to do better in our own cities.
Well, I think, you know, what was new about this is just the attention-getting ability of an Amazon. I mean, people were competing for, you know, auto plants down south and other things for years, and Boeing's facilities in South Carolina. But, you know, this sort of high media, high celebrity kind of profile. But I think it's a cautionary tale, because you see, unless they were serious, and I think communities would have to decide if they're serious about being considered, you know, as a non-coastal or non-capital community. But you're seeing Foxconn, you know, big competition in Wisconsin. Millions and millions of taxpayer dollars are being spent now for a much smaller footprint of jobs. And folks have got to, you know, think seriously about participating in this high-profile competition is going to waste their time when they should be saying, how do we fuel the growth of our own economy? How do we grow our research, our universities, our new small business development ourselves?
John Austin is director of the Michigan Economic Center and a senior fellow with the Brookings Institution.